Boys, Daf Mem Zayin, we will start on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. And the Gemara here quotes from the Mishnah where it said, "Ushekenegdoi choshut v'chulu v'asila shvur ashov." The Mishnah there says that even though normally when there is an obligation of a shvur, the defendant is the one that has to swear, and when he swears, he becomes potter. If he swears that he doesn't owe, he becomes potter. Nevertheless, there are certain cases when the Chachamim said that nishba v'noikol, that the person who claims swears and gets his money. And the Mishnah mentioned many cases, and one of the cases was shekeneg de choshev, if his opponent is choshev, if there is an obligation of a shvur on a certain person, on a defendant, but the defendant is choshev, we suspect that he could swear false, so then the one that's claiming would take the shvur instead of him, and after he swears, he gets his money. And the Mishnah said that this is whether this person who is the defendant had once sworn false a shvur asa'edus. He once swore that he doesn't know a certain testimony for somebody, and later we found out that he was lying, or it was a shvur asa'edus, or he swore that he doesn't have an object that somebody claimed that he was holding for him, and later we found out that he swore false. Then it says afilu shvur ashov, even if it was not a shvur between him and somebody else, that he denied money that somebody else claimed, even if it was just a false shvur that he made between himself and Hashem. Also the din is that he is considered a choshed al shvur, that we suspect that he's able to swear false, and therefore we don't trust him. And the din would be that his opponent, the one that's claiming, he would swear and get his money. Gemara asks, "My afilu shvur ashov, what do we mean, even if he was caught swearing a false shvur? Why is that afilu? Why should we think that in this case he should not be considered choshed al shvur?" And the Gemara says, "Loi mi boya koma." What he's saying is not only that loi mi boya hanav the izbul kviras momen. Not only if he was caught swearing shvur asa'edus false or shvur asapikaton false. So there, the shvur was a case where through the shvur he denied somebody's money. El afilo ho name. Even this case where it was a shvur shav, he just swore false. The kviras tvorim ba'almahu. It is just denying words. He didn't deny money. He just not keeping his shvur, also loy mehem, and he's not believed. Because there would be a svara to say that maybe this person is able to swear false and it doesn't involve any money. But how do we know that he will also swear false and cause someone else a loss of money? But we still say, since he once swore a shvur ashov, we don't believe him again to swear. But then the Gemara asks, "Release ninami shvur as bitui." Why doesn't it also mention shvur as bitui? Shvur as bitui means a shvur of utterance. It's a shvur that you say that you will do something and later you don't do it. Or a shvur that you say that you did something and really you didn't do it. A shvur ashov, a pashtun, is only that you swear in vain. And in the Mishnah it mentioned the shvur ashov. Why didn't it also mention the shvur as bitui? The Gemara answers, ki ktani shvur. What kind of shvur did he mention? The chika mishtabe v'shika mishtabe. A kind of shvur that when you swear false. And that's the kind of shvur we say. If we hear him swear such a shvur, he is never again trusted to swear. Avo shvur is bitu, but concerning the shvur is bitu. The ikila meimer, the bekushtika mishtabe, that it's possible to say he's swearing in truth, like Tony doesn't say. Because one of the cases of a shvur is bitu is when he swears that he's going to eat a certain thing. So even though later, when he didn't eat it, he was over, he transgressed the shvur. But at the time of the shvur, we didn't know. Maybe he's going to keep it. That's not called a false shvur. Maybe the shvur is a true shvur. He swears he's going to eat a certain thing, and he's going to eat it maybe. Or he swears he's not going to eat a certain thing, and maybe he's going to keep the shvur and not eat it. So therefore, we cannot mention a shvur as bitui, because a shvur as bitui could be true. But the Gemara asks, "See, now that is good. If he swears that I will eat, or he swears I will not eat for the future, so then at the time of the shvur we don't know that it's going to be false, and therefore even if later on he did not keep the shvur, it doesn't mean that he is choshud that we could suspect him of swearing false. Maybe what happened later was that there was an oinus, something forced him not to keep the shvur, or even if nothing forced him, but he just couldn't overcome his yetzer hara, and he ate the thing that he wasn't allowed, or he didn't eat the thing that he was supposed to eat. But it doesn't mean that this is a person that could swear false, because at the time of the shvur, maybe he had good intentions, maybe he had in mind to keep the shvur. So that is only if it's concerning the future. But achalti v'lo yachalti ma'ayik elameimer, if he swore that I ate something when really he didn't, or he swore I didn't eat something and really he did, so then at the time of the shvuah he's already swearing false. So that's also a shvuah's bitui, and it's a shvuah sheket. It's a false shvuah. So why doesn't the Mishnah mention that if he swore a shvuah's bitui, he is also considered kosher al shvuah? And the Gemara answers, Tane shvuah shov, so chol d'damilo. We learn shvuah shov, and it means everything that is similar to a shvuah shov. So any shvuah that you swear concerning the past, and it is not true, it is included in what the Mishnah says, shvuah shov. Then the Mishnah continued and said, Hod yo echad mem esache v'kuvye, if one of them played with dice, so he is possible to be an eidus, and he's also not trusted to swear. So the Gemara asks, Hotsu lomali, why does the Mishnah have to tell us this also? Wouldn't it be self-understood? Since he is considered a gazlan, since Misache Bekuvia is considered, he takes away money from other people, shaloi kedin, not according to the din, so he's like a gazlan, so certainly he is not trusted to swear. But the Gemara answers, Tone psulu deraise, uktone psulu derabonon. He's teaching us psulim mideraise and psulim derabonon. The previous psulim that the Mishnah mentions, if he swore false, for instance, I swore sages, I swore sapikodin, then he is possul mideraise. But the Mesachek Bekuvia is not Midaraisa a gazlan. He's only considered a gazlan Midarabonon. The reason we consider him a gazlan is because Asmachta Loikanya, since he plays dice, means he gambles, so he takes money that other people don't really intend to give it, because when they start playing, each one hopes he's going to win. So doesn't really make up his mind to give the money away to the other person. So when the other person takes the money, he is really taking it Shaloikadim. So Midaraisa is not considered a gazlan, because he's not stealing the money. The person is giving it to him. But the Rabbanan said, since Asmachta Waikanya, since there's not a real kinyan, just an Asmachta, it is like a gazlan. So the Mishnah wants to mention that not only if you are possible Midaraisa, then we say that your opponent swears. But even if you are only possible Midarabbanan, if the defendant is possible Midarabbanan, also we say that the claimer is the one that swears. Then the Mishnah said, Hoyu Shneyan Chashudin, if they were both suspected of swearing false, the defendant and the one that's claiming. So we find in the Mishnah machloikis between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. In the Mishnah it said that Rabbi Yossi said chazra hashvul im koino, the shvul goes back to its place, and Rabbi Meir says yachloiku, that they divide without the shvul. And the Gemara is going to explain what we mean when we say chazra hashvul im koino, that the shvul goes back. But the Gemara says omalei rava le Rav Nachman, rava said to Rav Nachman, hey chetnan, how did we learn? In other words, in this machloikis between the Yossi and the Meir, who is of which opinion? Did Rabbi Yossi say yachloiku, and Rabbi Meir was the one that said that the shvur goes back to its place? Or was Rabbi Meir the one that said yachloiku, and Rabbi Yossi was the one that said that the shvur goes back to its place? Amalei so said to him, lo yadayin, I don't know. Then he asked him, hilchas amai, what is the halacha? Do we pass on yachloiku, or do we say the shvur goes back to its place? Amalei said to him, lo yadayin, I don't know. Itmer, but we learned, Amar Rabbi Yossi Barman Yume, Amar Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Yossi Barman Yume, said in the name of Rabbi Nachman, that Rabbi Yossi is the one that says that they divided. Which means that even though the Chathila Rabbi Nachman said he didn't remember who was the one that said Yachloiku, but obviously later on he reminded himself that it was Rabbi Yossi who said Yachloiku. The Chayim Toni Rabbi Zvid Bar Oishi, and so did Rabbi Zvid, the son of Oishi, learn that Rabbi Yossi Oime Yachloiku, that Rabbi Yossi was the one that said to divide. Ikedam, as some say, Toni Rabbi Zvid, that Rabbi Zvid learned, Omer Rabbi Oishi said that Rabbi Yossi Oime Yachloiku, Rabbi Yossi said Yachloiku. Not like we learned before, that Rabbi Zvid Bar Oishi himself said that Rabbi Yossi said Yachloiku, but according to the second opinion in the Gemara, Rabbi Zvid said in the name of Rabbi Yossi that he said that Rabbi Yossi is the one that said Yachloiku. And Omer Rabbi Yossi Barman Yuma, Rabbi Yossi Barman Yuma said, Ovid Rabbi Nachman Uvda Yachloiku. Rabbi Nachman actually paskened the din that way, and actually made it happen that way, that Yachloiku, that a Shaila came to him, and he actually said that they should divide. So not only did he remember that Rabbi Yossi was the one that said Yachloiku, but also concerning the second question that Rava asked him, who the halacha is like, and he said, I don't know. Later on he remembered, and he paskened that the din is Yachloiku. Then the Gemara says that one opinion is Chazer Shvul and Koyim. In a case like that, where both of them are suspected of swearing false, the Shvul goes back to its place. So the Gemara asks, Lahecha Chazer, where does it go back? What do we mean it goes back to its place? Omer Rabbamis, Rabbamis said, Rabbi Seinu Shebe Bavel Omru, Our Rebbe of Bavel said that what does that mean? Chozer Shvur Sinai. The Shvur goes back to Har Sinai, which means the Shvur goes back to the Shvur of Har Sinai that Hashem made the Yidden swear Loi Sigzer. Hashem made the Yidden swear that they accept the whole Torah. Now, by Sinai, one of the things that they were told is not to steal. So therefore, if somebody denies money that he owes to somebody else, he is over on the Isra of Loi Sigzel. So the Eibishter, Hashem, who was the one that commanded them Loi Sigzel by Har Sinai, he will take care of it. But Bezdin cannot do anything. Bezdin cannot make him swear, because they are both choshes. To paskin the din without swearing, Bezdin can't either, because this is a din where you have to swear. So what do? So Bezdin doesn't get involved at all, so he doesn't collect. And Hashem, who was the one that commanded by Har Sinai, that's where the Shvua goes back to, and he will take care of it, because he was the one that said, don't steal. But the Bezdin doesn't make him pay. But our Rebbe of Eretz Yisrael said, the Shvua goes back to the one that's obligated. For instance, the case of Moedib and Mikzah, so the defendant is obligated to swear. A defendant is choshud, so we say, let his opponent swear, the one that claims. Since his opponent is also choshud, so it goes back to the one that is obligated to swear. But on the other hand, we can't make him swear, because he is choshud. So what do? We say that since you cannot swear, you must pay. Because the rule is, according to this opinion, that kol ha-mechuyev shvua, the eina yochol ish b'mishalos, that since you can't swear, you are obligated to swear, and you cannot swear, so instead, you have to pay. So this is a machloike between Rabbi Seinu Shebevovel and Rabbi Seinu Shebevet Yisrael. Rabbi Seinu Shebevovel holds that in this case, you don't collect, and Rabbi Seinu Shebevet Yisrael holds that in this case, you do collect, he has to pay the money, because since he's a machloike shvua, v'eina yochol ish b'ah, then he's mishalom, he has to pay. Omer Rapapa said, Rabbi Seinu Shebevovel, Rabbi Shmu, who are our rabbis of Bovel, that said in this case, you do not collect, that is Rabbi Shmu. Rabbi Seinu Shebevet Yisrael, who are our rabbis of Eretz Yisrael, that you say in this case, you do collect, he does have to pay, this is the Rebbe. And he's going to prove how he knows that. Rabbi Seinu Shebevovel, Rabbi Shmu, how do I know that our rabbis of Bovel, that say in this case, he doesn't pay? This is Rav Shmuel, because we learn in our Mishnah that Yisoyimim, when they come to collect a debt that is owed to their father, they only could collect with a Shvuah. They have to swear first, and then they collect. And the Mishnah says what kind of Shvuah they swear. They have to swear that they were not told by their father that this debt was paid, and they did not find a receipt among the documents of their father. And we thought into this, we discussed this, Niman. From whom are they claiming the money that we say that the only way they could collect is if they swear? If we're going to say, it's from a borrower, that they bring out a document that a certain person borrowed money from their father. And we say the only way they could collect from that borrower is if they swear. The question is, why should they have to swear? Avua and Shotya Beloi Shvua, their father would have taken with other Shvua. Just by producing the document that person owes him the money, borrowed money from him, he would collect. The Inuvi Shvuah, so they have to swear. Why should they have to swear? Why shouldn't this document be enough? Why should they have to swear that their father did not tell him that this was not paid, or they didn't find the document saying it was paid already? If the father would have taken out the document, he wouldn't have to swear anything, so they shouldn't have to swear anything either. Elohachakoma, therefore you must say, this is the pshat. That when Yisoyimim come to collect from Yisoyimim, then they have to swear. Which means that the borrower is not alive, and the children from the lender come to the children of the borrower and show them a document that their father borrowed money from their father. But here we say that they have to swear. Because the din is b'chalot, whenever you want to collect from Yisoyimim, you have to swear. So too, when Yisoyimim want to collect from Yisoyimim, they also have to swear. The Rav Shmuel Damet Ravayu and Rav Shmuel, they both said concerning this din, that Lo Yishono, this din was not taught. This din that we said, that when Yisoyimim want to collect from Yisoyimim, they have to swear. But after they swear, they do collect, that was only said, El Shemes Malve B'chay Eloive. If the lender died in the lifetime of the borrower, which means that the lender died before the borrower. So what happened here was, the lender died, so now the borrower is obligated to pay to the children of the lender. So then, when the borrower dies, so his children are now obligated to pay to the children of the lender. So So we say that they have to swear, the children of the lender have to swear, and then they get their money. Avo mes loyved b'chayim alve, but if the loyved, the borrower, died in the lifetime of the lender, which means the borrower died before the lender, so then the din is different, because kvanet chayiv malve libnei loyved shvur. Because as soon as the loyved died, the borrower died, at that moment, the only way the malve was able to collect from the loyved's children was only if he would swear. So then when he died, when the malve died, so now his children take his place, and the din is the ein odom moiri shvur lebonav. A person cannot make his children inherit the shvur. In other words, if a person was able to collect money just through a shvur, and he dies, his children cannot collect that money at all. Because since he was only able to collect with a shvur, so his children definitely can't collect unless they have a shvur. And on the other hand, they cannot swear the same shvur the father would swear. The father would swear, for instance, that the money is owed kach v'kach. They can't swear that. The only shvur that they could swear is that their father never told them that this was paid. But that's not the shvur the father was obligated. So they can't swear the shvur the father was supposed to swear. And since the father could not have collected unless he would have sworn, so they also can't collect unless they swear that shvur, and that shvur they can't swear, so therefore they can't collect. So therefore, in the case where first the loyva died, and the malva at that moment became obligated to swear to the children of the loyva that they owe the money, because the din is you cannot collect from your soivim unless you swear. So the malva became obligated to swear to the children of the loyva. Then the malva died, so now his children are obligated to swear to the children of the loyva, but the shvur that the father was supposed to swear, they cannot swear, so therefore their shvur won't help. On the other hand, let us say in that case, since the children of the malva cannot swear, let the children of the loyva swear that their father already paid, they can't swear that either, because they don't know. So neither of them could swear. So what do Rav and Shmuel say? Therefore, no one collects. So we see here that according to Rav and Shmuel, when there is an obligation of a shvur, and either of them could swear, so what do we say? No one swears and no one collects. So we see that they hold that in a case where there's a chi of shvur, chozra shvur l'sinai. The shvur goes back to Sinai, which means the shvur goes back to Hashem, and the bezin cannot do anything. They cannot make anybody swear, and they also can't make anybody pay. So therefore he said that when we know that Rabbi Yisrael Shebabov said the pshat in the Mishnah, that when both of them are choshud, chozra shvur l'mkoyim means chozra shvur l'sinai, and no one swears and no one collects, this must have been Rav Shmuel, because we see in this case that Rav Shmuel holds that even though there is an obligation of a shvur here, but since no one could swear, so the din is that no one swears and no one collects, and it stays the way it is. And then he says, Rabbi Seinish of Eretz Yisrael, that when we said that our Rebbe of Eretz Yisrael say, chozra shvur l'mchuyiv lo, which means that the shvur goes back to the one that must swear. And since he can't swear, he has to pay, that was Rebbe. How do we know that this is the opinion of Rebbe? There's a story that it was this man that grabbed away a piece of silver from his friend. Also, he came to Rav Ame, and Yosef Rav Ame came. Rav Ame was sitting in front of Rav Ame and watching this case. So he brought one witness, the Michtech Sofimene, that saw that he grabbed that piece of silver out of his hand. And the person who grabbed the piece of silver said, "Ain't yet, Chotfi, I just grabbed. But with the dichotzi, I grabbed my own. This was my thing, and I grabbed it." Omer Rabame said, "Heicha l'dayne dayne l'haydine. How could the judges judge this din? It's a very complicated case. Name alei zil shlim. Let us say to him, go pay. Leket reisahad. There are no two witnesses. On what basis can we make him pay? If there would have been two witnesses that would have said they saw him grab the piece of silver out of somebody else's hand, then he would have to pay, even though he claims it's his. But we know the klal that the chazok kol ma sheyesh tachas yad odem shaloyu. Whatever a person has in his hands, we assume it's his. So we know for sure that the other person had it in his hands and he grabbed it away. So we say you have to give it back to him. The chazok is it's his. If you have some claim, bring witnesses that it's yours. But as long as you don't bring witnesses that it's yours, amoytzi mechaveir yolav araya, you have to bring a raya and it stays his. Because we know for sure that it was originally in his hand, because two witnesses said that you grabbed it. But in this case, there are no two witnesses. So on one witness, you can't make a person give money on the testimony of one witness. So we can make him pay. Nifterei, should we make him potter completely and say, hold the silver and don't do anything? There is one witness. And the din is that when you have one witness against you, that is Mechayev Ashur. As we learned earlier in the Gemara, that even though one witness is not believed to collect money, but he is believed enough to make the person swear. So in this case, to say that he shouldn't have to do anything and he should be potter, we can't either. Because there is one witness that does say that he grabbed it away. Name a lazily shtaber to tell him that he should swear because of that one witness, we can't either. Because even to Omar, since he says, I did grab it, he admits he grabbed it, havalik a gazlan. He is considered like a gazlan. Now, the pshat here is, according to the way Rashi learns, it doesn't mean he's like a gazlan. What it means is, he cannot swear just like a gazlan cannot swear. And the real reason why he cannot swear is, because why should he swear? Because of the Eid Echad. When you have an Eid Echad, one witness against you, you have to swear to contradict the witness. For instance, if you say you don't owe the money, and the witness says you do owe, but you have to swear that you don't owe against the witness. But in this case, he can't swear against the witness, because the witness doesn't know whether it's his or not. The witness says, I saw you grab it. He admits he grabbed it. He can't swear against the witness to say, I didn't grab it. He admits he grabbed it. The only thing is, he says that it's his. To make him swear that it's his, we can't, because there is no reason to make him swear. The whole reason we should make him swear is because of this one witness. The one witness does not say it's not his. If the witness would say it's not his, he would have to swear it's not his, it is his. But since the witness did not say that, the witness doesn't know, so he has no reason to swear that it is his. On the other hand, to swear against the witness that he didn't grab it, he can't either, because he admits that he grabbed it. So what should we do here? Oh, my late Rabbi said, Have a Mechuyev Shvur. The Emes, he is a Mechuyev Shvur. Since there is one witness that says that he grabbed it, which normally, according to that one witness, means that he has to give it back. So he, Be'etzen, here, is obligated to swear against the witness. But Ve'ein Yochel Ishvah, but he cannot swear, because the witness doesn't say it's not his, the witness just says that he grabbed it, and he admits he grabbed it. So he's a Mechuyev Shvur and can swear. Kol HaMechuyev Shvur, Ve'ein Yochel Ishvah, anybody who is obligated to swear and cannot swear, Nishalom has to pay. So we see that Rav Abba is of the opinion that anybody who is obligated to swear and cannot swear for whatever reason, he must pay instead of the shvur. Because from this we understand that when we said that Rabbi Sein Shever Eretz Yisrael said that the pshat in the Mishnah, Chozer Shvur L'mkoyim means that it goes back to the Mechuyev Shvur and he has to pay, this is Rav Abba. Because that's exactly what Rabbi Sein Shever Eretz Yisrael said in the Mishnah, that when both of them are Choshed Al HaShvur, so both of them can't swear, so Chozer Shvur L'mkoyim, it goes back to the one that is supposed to swear, and since he can swear, he must pay. So this is exactly the same logic as Reb Abba said it. But Reb Abba said it concerning the Shvur against an Eid Echad, and in our Mishnah it's concerning a different kind of Shvur. But the logic is the same. So that's how he knows that who is the one that said that the Pshat in the Mishnah is that since both of them cannot swear, we say that the one that is Mechuyev Shvur has to pay, this is Reb Abba. Omer Rove, Rove said, Vosei de Rebabe Mistavre. The logic seems to show like Rebabe said. The Tony Rebabe, because Rebabe learns, the Pesuk says, Shvuas Hashem tiyeh ben shneihem, that the Shvuah of Hashem should be between them. That when there is a dispute, for instance, the case of a Shomer, when he says, you have my object, he says, it was stolen, or whatever the case should be. The Pesuk says that the Shvuah should be between them, between the two. So we dash from the Pesuk, the Loi ben Hayoshim. Not between the Yoshim, which means if the Balei Din, the ones that are involved in the dispute, are not alive, and then there is a dispute between the children of them, so then the Pasuk tells us that they don't have to swear. That's why the Pasuk says Bein Shneihem, to teach us this Din only between the two, but not between the Yoshim. Now the question is, Hey Chedomim, what is the case? In other words, what is the case that there could have been a Shvuah between the Yoshim, and the Pasuk says that you don't have to swear? He lay we're going to say. For instance, oh, my lay says to him, Monela Abba Beyadovich. Your father had a money, had 100 of my father, and I want you to pay me. But oh, my lay, and he answers him, Chamshin Islay the Chamshin Leslay. 50 he owed, and 50 he didn't owe. So there is a dispute here between two Yorshim concerning the debt of their fathers, and he is a Moitabimik. So if he wouldn't have been a Yoresh, he would have been obligated to swear. So we learn now from the Pasuk that if it's a dispute between the Yoreshim, then you don't swear. But the question is, Mali who, Mali Avua, what is the difference in him and his father? Since he claims that he knows for sure that his father only owed 50, not 100. Since he claims body, so why shouldn't he swear? We don't say it's a gzeira sakosa, the posse just makes a deen without any logic, that if it's between the yorshim that you don't swear. There must be some logic to it. Now, since the Yairish says that I know for sure that my father only owed 50, so he's a regular moedim mikta, so why shouldn't he swear? Elolav, therefore he must say that the case is the omalei that he says to him, your father owed my father 100. Omalei, so he says to him, chamshin yadayna v'chamshin lo yadayna, 50, I know he owes. The other 50, I don't know. So here we say the deen, that he does not have to swear, because the Pasuk says, only Beit Shneim v'loi ben Ayoshin. Now the question is, why do we need a Pasuk for that? What would have been if he wouldn't have been a Yairish? If the same case would have happened, not between Yoshim, but between the people themselves. So, if you're going to say that Oviv Kehai Gavne Mechayiz, that the father in such a circumstance will have to pay, because since he admits to part, he's a Moedim Mikvah. And therefore, the deen is that he has to swear. On the other hand, he cannot swear because he says himself he doesn't know. If he says, I only owe you 50, so he swears that he doesn't owe him the other 50. But since he says that the other 50 I don't know, so he can't swear. But if you're going to say that in this case he has to pay because he's a mechuyev shvuah of eini yochel lishba, he's mechuyev to swear and can't swear. Mishalim, he has to pay. So I understand. So we need a posik to tell her that if the same thing happens concerning Yorshim, then he is potter. Only if the father is a mechuyev shvuah. So we say, since he's obligated to swear, he has to pay instead because he can't swear. But the Yorshim don't fall under this category of mechuyev shvuah and yochel lishba. We learn it out from the posik shvuah Hashem tiyeh ben shneim v'loy ben Yorshim, and that's why they are potter. Elo yamer, but if you're going to say, the father in such a case also would have been potter, which means that if you're going to hold that mechuyev shvuah vein yochel lishba doesn't pay, and therefore if a person says 50 I know I owe you, 50 I don't know, so he doesn't have to pay, so why do we need a potter to tell us that the yorshim are potter if the father also would have been potter? If the person, the baldover himself, is potter in such a case, and the yorshim are also potter. So since we do need a pasuk to tell us that the Yorshim are potter, obviously the father would have been chayef to pay. But that shows that the din is that the mechuyev shvuah vein yochel lishba mishalem. So this is a raya from the pasuk to the babbe. Then the Gemara asks, Rav Shmuel, hai shvuah Hashem hai kodosh shebei. But Rav Shmuel, what do they use this pasuk of shvuah Hashem tiyeh ben shneim? Rav Shmuel, who argue against the babbe, and they don't hold that your mechuyev shvuah vein yochel lishba, you have to pay. They hold that in the case where you can't swear, so Bezin doesn't get involved, you don't swear and you don't get paid either. So obviously they don't need the Pasuk Shvuas Hashem Tiyeh Ben Shneim to teach us that Yorshim don't have to pay, since the father also wouldn't have to pay in such a case. So what did they use this Pasuk for? And the Gemara answers, Miboya Leilike the Tanya, they need it for what we learn in the Braise. We learn in the Braise that Shimon Ben Tarsan says, Shvuas Hashem Tiyeh Ben Shneim, that the Pasuk says the Shvuah of Hashem will be between them. Melamed, it teaches us Shashvuah Cholo Al Shneim, that the Shvuah falls on both of them, which means even the one that claims, he is also responsible for the Shvuah, because he really could have avoided the Shvuah also. If he would have been more careful, he would have made sure that there was a document written for the debt, or there would have been witnesses by the debt. So therefore he is also responsible that it came to a point where the other person had to swear. And that's what we learn now from the Pasuk, Shvuas Hashem, Tiyeh Ben Shneim, that both of them have the responsibility of the Shvuah. Now, since the Gemara already brought a drash from Shimon ben Tarfon, the Gemara goes on and brings more drashes that Shimon ben Tarfon says. Shimon ben Tarfon said, Azhore lo'oikiv achanoyef minayim. Shimon ben Tarfon said, Azhore lo'oikiv achanoyef minayim. But where do we know that there is an Isur, a prohibition, to go after the heels of an adulterer? Which means to help an adulterer find women to do the Aveira with is also an Aveira. Talmud Lomer, the Pasuk says, Loi Sina. The simple shot in the Pasuk is, do not commit adultery. But he darshan, Loi Sani. You should not cause adultery to be committed. So if you help somebody commit adultery, you are over on this love of Loi Sina. Then he darshans another Pasuk. It said, Moshe Rabbeinu was giving Musa to the Eden. And he said that you murmured in your tent. Shimon ben Tarfon Oimer, Shimon ben Tarfon says that, what does it mean? Tartan v'ginisem v'oh l'shemokim. Which means that you spied out and you put to shame the tent of Hashem. That Hashem who has a shechina between you, so your tents actually have Hashem in them. So by you going out and spying the land, what you did was you embarrassed the tent of Hashem. Then you continue, the Pasuk also says, Adanor HaGodel Nahar Pros, when he gives the borders of Eretz Yisrael, so it says that on one side it'll be till the big river, the river of Pros. Shimon ben Tarfon Oimer, Shimon ben Tarfon says that this Pasuk teaches us, Krav L'Gabe Dehine Ve'edayin. If you get close to a man who is anointed, you will also get anointed. Because really, this river, Pros, was the smallest one. In the Pasuk it mentions four rivers. And it says, Vahanor Harvi Hu Pros, that the fourth one was Pros. And this is the smallest one of all three. So how come here he calls it Hanor HaGodol, the big river? And the reason is because here it's mentioned next to Eretz Yisrael. Since it's mentioned as a border of Eretz Yisrael, so therefore it's called the big. Since Eretz Yisrael is big, which means Eretz Yisrael is very choshev, is very important, so if you are together with an important thing, you also become important. But from here we know that if you will be close to somebody who is anointed, who is smeared with oil, then you will also get smeared from it. The Beit Rabbi Shmuel Tani, the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they learned, Eved Melech Ki Melech, that it means that a servant of a king is like a king himself. Since he is very close to the king, so he is like a king. And therefore, this Nohar, even though it was small, but since it was next to Eretz Yisrael, which is a king, so it was also like a king, and the Pasuk refers to it as Hanor HaGodol, as the big river. Then the Gemara continues, it said in the Mishneh, V'achen v'nyapin kosei chulu. It's another example of a person who swears and collects, not like usual, when you swear and you are potter from paying, but v'achen v'nyapin kosei, the storekeeper with his booklet. And the example given in the Mishneh is that if there was a person who said to his worker, go and get your pay by getting some food from the storekeeper on my account. And later on the storekeeper comes and he says, I gave them the food on your account, now pay me. But the workers say, we never got it. So the Mishneh says that they both swear and both collect. The storekeeper swears that he gave them and the Balabais has to pay him. The workers swear that they never got, and the Balabais has to pay them too. But Benanu said in the Mishneh that how can you say that? One of them is definitely going to swear false, because one of them is definitely lying, so therefore Benanu holds that they don't swear, and the Balabais has to pay them both with Adishvur. But the Gemara says, Tanya, we'll learn in the Braise, Omar Rebbe, Rebbe said, Toirach Shvur Zulomo, the bother of the Shvur is what for? Which means, Rebbe also said that how can you make them both swear when we know for sure that one of them is going to swear false? That's all Rebbe said. He didn't finish off. We don't know what Rebbe meant. Whether he meant that therefore they should both collect with Avishvua, like by Nana's hold, or the workers swear and they get paid from the Balabais because he owes them, and the Chenvini, the storekeeper, loses out. But anyway, Omar later Pchia said to Rebbe, Tanina, didn't we learn this in the Mishneh? Shnei and Nishboim v'noikim the Balabais, they both swear and take from the Balabais. And since Rebbe was the one that was Mesadeh the Mishnayis, he was the one that wrote the Mishnayis, so Reb Chiya asked him, what do you mean that you don't know why you have to swear when you yourself wrote in the Mishnah that they both swear and collect from the Balabais? The Gemara asked, Kibla Minei, or Loi Kibla Minei? Did Rebbe accept it from Reb Chiya, and therefore he changed his mind from what he said before that he shouldn't swear, or he did not change his mind and Rebbe still continued to hold that they should not swear? The Gemara says, Toshma, come here, I will answer your question. The Tanya will learn in the Braise, Rebbe Oimer, Rebbe says, Poyalin Nishboim L'chen V'ni, that the workers swear to the storekeeper. In other words, in this Braise, Rebbe did explain what he held. In the Braise before, all Rebbe said was, what is the reason for the Shvur? In other words, they shouldn't swear. But what he actually holds, we said before, we don't know. But in this Braise, it says clearly that Rebbe said that he holds that the workers swear to the storekeeper, and that's all. And when they swear, they collect. The Emis, if it is true that he accepted what the Pchia told him, that they both have to swear, the Balabais, Miboyalei, should have said they swear to the Balabais, if what he meant was that the Poyalim swear and they collect, and the Chenveni swears and he collects, so the Poyalim have to swear to the Balabais. What do the poelim have to do with the storekeeper? The poelim, the workers, they're claiming from the balabais. They swear to him, and he has to pay them. The chenveni, the storekeeper, claims from the balabais. He swears to him, and he collects also. Now, since it says that the Rebbe holds the workers swear to the chenveni, obviously, what does that mean? That only the workers get, and they swear to the chenveni that he never gave them. So the chenveni doesn't get anything because the workers swear, and the workers, on their other hand, collect from the balabais. So we see that the Rebbe did not accept the son of Chia, and Rebbe still holds that we can't say that both of them should swear. Oh, Marava, so Rebbe said, it's not I. The emes, maybe Rebbe did accept it from the Chia. And when he said that the workers swear to the chenveni, it means, Toyalim nishboim le balabais, the maimet chenveni. They swear to the balabais in front of the chenveni. In order that they should be embarrassed of him. And if they are lying, so it will be hard for them to swear that the chenveni never gave them if the chenveni is standing there. Therefore, we make them swear in front of the chenveni. But really it's possible that they swear to the balabais in front of the chenveni and they get. The chenveni also swears and he gets. And maybe Rebbe did accept it from the chia. Ending what it continues, Gitmer, we learn, if you have two groups of witnesses that they contradict each other. For instance, if two people come and say that this and this time, Reuven killed somebody, and another group of Eidos come and say at that time, Reuven did not kill, so we have witnesses to each side. Omer Rav Huna said, Zubo bitni atmo miido, this group could come by itself in another case and testify, the Zubo bitni atmo miido, and the other group could come in another case and testify. In other words, that since we don't know which one is right, so none of these Eidos are considered possible Eidos. Well, we know for sure that they're testifying false, so from now on you can't trust them anymore. But since in this case we don't know which one is false, so each one is a suffix. So next time if they want to testify, so each group separately could come and testify. But it's only if each group separately testifying. But if you would have the moshul, one person from the first group and one person from the other group together come and testify on something else, then you wouldn't accept it. Because we know for sure one of them is possible. And that's the reason the Gemara says the Lashon, Zubo bitnei atmo mida, this separately, each group separately could come and testify. But if you want to mix the two groups together, some from here and some from here, or one from here and one from here, then you cannot accept it because we know for sure one of them is lying. What do we have to do with false witnesses since one of them is definitely lying, so we can't trust either of them, and therefore, even if they would come to a different union, a different testimony, we do not accept it. And the Gemara now explains what the machloket is. Shnei malvin u'shnei loivin u'shnei shtores haynu p'tuktayu. That if, later on, each group will sign on another shtar. And we said before, that if each one comes to testify separately, and according to Rav Huna, they are both believed, and according to Rav Chisda, they are both not believed. So let's say each one signed in a separate star, and each star is completely separate. In each star, there is a different malva and a different loiver, a different borrower and a different lender. And there are two separate shtaras. That is actually the machloket. According to Rav Huna, each of the two shtaras are good because the two shtaras have no connection, and each one is only a suffix being possible, and therefore we assume it is kosher. As long as we don't know for sure that they're possible, they're kosher. And since the two have no connection to each other, so therefore we believe in both according to Rav Huna, while according to Rav Chisda we don't. Malve veloive ushnei shtores. What would be if we have two shtores, but it's the same malve and the same loive? For instance, Reuven has two shtores that Shimon owes him money. So it's the same malve, that is Reuven, and the same loive to Shimon, but they're two separate halvores, two separate loans, and two separate shtores. And one group of Eidos signed one shtar, and the other group of Eidos signed other shtar. So here we say, Yad bal hashtar al tachtoine. The hand of the one that has the shtar, which means the malve, is on the bottom. Which simply means that he only could collect with the shtar, which has the smaller amount. And this does not depend on the machloikis between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Because here, the two groups of Eidos are really coming together. Since the one that's claiming the money from the person that he is claiming is the same. So we can't say that we should accept both shtaras because It's a contradiction. If this star is kosher, then the other star is possible. If the other star is kosher, this star is possible. Because one of the two groups is definitely possible. If they come to separate people, then we don't mix the two, and each one is kosher separately. But here they are together because the same person is claiming with both stutters. So we tell the same person, you can't use both stutters. One of them is definitely possible. And since we don't know which one, so we say he's obligated to pay for the smaller amount. Because the smaller amount, he's certainly chayav. Because let's say one is 100 and one is 200. So 100 is certainly chayav. If the 100 star is kosher, then he's chayav 100. If the 200 star is a kosher one, so he's definitely chayav 100. He's chayav 100 plus. But 100 is certainly chayav. So therefore, in this case, there is no machloikas in Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. They both would hold that the din is that the hands of the bala star, of the malveh, is on the bottom, which means that he only could collect the smaller amount. Now what would be if it be shnei malvin v'loi v'echod u'shnei shtore? Two lenders, but one borrower, and they're on two shtore. So hainu masnitin. This is the din of our Mishnah, which means as follows. Here the case is that you had two people that had two separate shtores, that they're both claiming money from the same person. And each of these shtores is signed one of those groups of ages that at one time contradicted each other. Now in this case, we have no topic what the opinion of Rav Huna would be. Whether we look at it as if they are coming together, since it's being claimed from the same person, or do we look at it that they're two separate ages because two separate people are claiming. So here we have no question, because really this is the same case in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah we have that the workers say to the Balabais, we never got, and they claim that the Balabais owes them the money. The Chenvin says that he did give, and the Balabais owes him the money, but the Mishnah says that he has to pay for both. Even though definitely one of the two is lying, nevertheless, we can't make either of them lose because we don't have a raya which one is right. So even though it will come out that the Balabais is going to have to pay double, so he's definitely going to lose, but still, since on the other two we don't know which is the one that he really owes, so therefore he has to pay for both. So the same thing would be here. These two shtores, one of them is definitely possible, but on the other hand, we don't know which one is possible, and there are two separate people who are claiming from the same one person, so we can't make either of them lose for the reason that this one person will have to pay the two. And even though we know for sure that one of the two shtores is possible, but in our Mishnah we also know for sure that one of the two are lying. Nevertheless, since we don't know who it is, so he has to pay both. And the same thing here, this one loyder will have to pay to both malvin, even though we know for sure that he only owes to one, but since we don't know to which one, and none of them have a stronger ayah than the other, so therefore, he has to pay to both. And this is not the same as in the previous case, because in the previous case, both shtores were brought by the same person. So we tell this one person, you can't use both shtores together because one of them is false, so you only collect the smaller one. But here, since there are two separate people, so each one could say, I don't care that the other person has a shtar which might be possible, and mine might be possible. I claim that mine is kosher, and the other one claims that his is kosher. So therefore, he has to pay to both. Now, what would be a vase, loivinu malve echod ushnei shtores, my? What would be the din if you have two borrowers and one lender, and it's written in two shtores? What would be the opinion of Rav Huna in this case? Would we say, since it's one person that's claiming both, so we tell him that nevonoshtach, one of your shtores has puzzle. And therefore he can't collect from either one. Because each loiva is going to tell him that the shtar you have against me is puzzle. In the case where it was one malve against one loiva, so the loiva has to pay him at least the smaller amount. Because even if one of them is puzzle, but the other one is kosher, and it's the same person that owes the money. But here, where we have two loivim, so each loiv is going to say that the shtar you have against me is a possible shtar. And the other one is going to say the same thing. So therefore, he doesn't collect from anybody. Or do we say, since there are two shtores, and he's claiming the money from two separate people, so we consider this, according to Rav Huna, as if each group of eders is testifying a separate testimony, and Rav Huna holds, when they testify separately, they are believed. And the shaila is, according to Rav Huna, would he be able to collect with that shtar or not? Now, according to Rav Chisda, there is definitely no question. Because according to Rav Chisda, even if there are two malvin, and two loivin, and two shtores, completely two separate different things, he says that you don't accept either of the shtores. Because since the Chatchila, they contradicted themselves, so each one has a deen of fossil aid. So certainly, in a case where you have two loivim and one malvin. But according to Rav Huna, who said that if they come to two separate things, then each one is believed. But the kashayla is, if you have two loivim and two separate shtaris, just one malvin, do we look at it as two separate things? Even though on each star assigned one of these two groups, which one of them is definitely possible. But that's only if they come together. But in this case, we consider it as if they came separate, because there are two shtaris claiming from two separate people. Or do we say that since the same person is claiming, each one of these two could tell him that the shtar you have against me is the possible shtar, and therefore he can't select neither of them? And the Gemara says, Teiku, this remains a question without an answer. Then the Gemara says, most of the Bruna Bar Yehuda, the Bruna Bar Yehuda asked the question, what learned the Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah concerning the din of Eidus HaChodesh. The din is that in the time when they had a Bezdin, so then they would be Mekadesh the Chodesh al Pi Ariyah. Witnesses would have to come to Bezdin to say that they saw the new moon, and based on their testimony, they would establish Rosh Chodesh. If they saw the new moon on the 30th day, then that 30th day would be Rosh Chodesh. It would not be the 30th day of the past month, but the 30th would turn into the first of the new month, if no witnesses would come, or if he would for some reason not accept the testimony of the witnesses. So then that day would remain the last day of the previous month, which means the previous month would have 30 days, and the next day would be the first day of the new month. And all the Yomim Tovim would depend on when the Bezdin established Rosh Chodesh. So when witnesses would come to Bezdin to testify they saw the new moon on the 30th day, Bezdin would investigate to see if they are saying the truth. So one of the questions the Bezdin would ask, how high is it seen to you from the horizon? So if one of them said, to me it looks two ox goats high from the horizon, and the other one says that to me it looks three ox goats high from the horizon, their testimony is still valid. Because we say they probably are not lying, even though they are contradicting each other, but since they're only, the difference is in the very small between one and two, it's possible that they didn't know exactly, and to one person it seemed two ox goats high, and the other one it seemed three ox goats high, but it doesn't mean that they are lying. But if one says to me it looks three ox goats high, and the other one says to me it looks like five ox goats high from the horizon, it do some betailer. That, hey, this is bottle, because we know for sure that they are lying, because they are both not saying the same thing. And we do not say, well, maybe they meant the same thing, they just made a mistake. Because between two and five, people do tell the difference. And therefore, their edus is not valid anymore. But, they could be combined to other testimonies. And at this point, the Gemara feels that what do we mean, they could be combined to other testimonies, and even though we assume that they were lying in this testimony, but since we don't know which one of the two was lying, so therefore each one separately is still considered kosher ladus, and each one separately, when you will come to a different testimony, you could use him as a ladus. My love, don't you think, ladus moment, that when it comes to testify other monetary testimonies, each one separately could be accepted? So this is a kasha and a chizda, because a chizda said that when you have two groups of ladus contradicting each other, and we don't know which one is saying the truth, so both of groups are possible for any other testimony. But here we see that we could use these two edus, even though they contradict with each other, and we don't accept the testimony in this case, we could use them for other testimonies. The mother says, Amar Rava Rava said, what does it mean? Hu va'acha mitzarfun edus acheres shel Rosh Chodesh. That he, either one of the two, could combine himself with another witness concerning the edus of Rosh Chodesh. In other words, we're not talking here about using them for other types of testimony, b'chlau. That we're not speaking about at all. What we mean here, that you could be mitzad of them to another edus, that means that if another person will come, and he will say that he also saw the levana, and he will say that he saw it, the height, as one of these two, let's say, he will say he saw it, three ox goats high from the horizon, so then we combine him with one of the two that said the same thing, and we consider them a group of edus, and the third person who said that he saw it five ox goats high from the horizon, he is pushed away, and we establish that the new moon was seen by those other two. Even though one person is saying against them, the havalei tzei v'chad, it's two against one, the ein dvarav shel echad v'makash shnayim, and the words of one has no value against two. And that's what we mean there. That when they contradict each other, there's no third person, so then we can't accept either of them. And as far as we're concerned, we have no edus that they saw the new moon. But if we have a third person who says like one of the two, so then we combine that third person to the one that he said like, and these two together become the Aedis, and the third person who said differently, he is pushed away and his words are not considered. But we have no raya from there, what would be the deen concerning other Aedis? If you have the two contradict each other, whether they still would be accepted to other testimonies. So we have no raya against the fifth. Considering we were learning the Gemara before, so there's a machloikis in Rav and Shmuel against Rav Abba, whether we use the svara of metoich shein yochal lishva mishalim, that when a person is mechoy v'shvua and for some reason can't swear, whether we say because of that he has to pay, or we say that you don't swear and you don't pay either. So the way it says in different svarim that the machloikis is based on the whole concept of chiyuv shvua. When there is a din, the person is obligated to swear in order to become poter, which means obviously that if he said I don't want to swear, then he must pay. There are two ways to learn. On one hand, we can learn that in that case there is only a chiyuv shvua. The person is obligated to swear. That's all. He's not obligated to pay. Why is the din that if he doesn't want to swear, he pays? Because if he doesn't want to swear, obviously he's lying. So then he has to pay. There's another way to learn that it's as if the Torah gives him two choices. So chatchila, there is a din that you have to pay. And you have another choice, that if you don't want to pay, you're able to swear. Let's use the example of a moedim mikveh. That when a person admits to part and denies part, so you can learn one way, that this person is only obligated to swear. Minadin, there's only a chiyuv shvua. And that's why if he swears, he is poter. If he says, I don't want to swear, he doesn't want to fulfill his obligation, then the only way he can get out of it is by paying. But there is no chiyuv minadin on him to pay. Or you could learn that minadin, he has to pay, or if he wants to get out of the payment, then he swears. And the same thing with Eid Echot. When he says, I don't owe, and one witness says, you do owe, so he's mechuyev shvua. So you could learn one pshat is that an Eid Echot is only mechayev shvua. He has no way of being mechayev a person money. But if the person doesn't want to swear, that means he is lying, so he has to pay. Or you could learn that when an Eid Echot comes, he is mechayev money also, just like two Eidis. The only difference is when two Eidis come, they're mechayev money and there's no way out. When an Eid Echot comes, so then the din is you have to pay, but since it's not so strict, you have a way to get out of the payment by swearing. And these two svaras are behind the machloikas whether we say mechuy yeshvua v'en yochal lishva mishalav. If you hold that there is no chiyuv mamon, there is only a chiyuv shvua, then if the reason he can't swear is not because he doesn't want to, but because al pi din he can't swear, so then there is no reason to mechayev him money, because there is no chiyuv mamon here, there's only a chiyuv shvua. And he says, I'm ready to swear. I can't swear, so that's why I should pay. There is no obligation on me to pay. And that's why Itaka doesn't have to pay. The one that holds Mechuy Yeshvua Vein Yoch Elisha Mishalem, he learns that Be'etzim there's a Chiyuv Mamon. There's only an option, another alternative here that you could get out of it by swearing. So if, for some reason, he can't swear, so there is no other alternative in this case, so what remains? The Chiyuv Mamon. And that's why he has to pay. Concerning what the Gemara said later on, the Machloik is between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, when we have two groups of Eidos contradicting each other, that Rav Huna holds that Zubov is Mi'atzno Mi'ido, Zubov is Mi'atzno Mi'ido. Each one can go separately and testify. While Rav Chisda says that we don't accept either of them, and they both become possible Eidos. And here in the Gemara asked a Kasha on Rav Chisda, and Rava answered that it's no Kasha on Rav Chisda. So he asked a Kasha, it says in Perik Merubim, Babakame, Safayim Beis, that Rava holds eight Zoymim Chidishu, that the deen that we believe the second group of Eidim, by Eidim Zoymim is a Chidish. We know there is a difference between Akhosh and Azome. Azome means when you have one group of Eidim come and testify, then you have another group and comes and says, how can you claim that you saw this and this happen at that and that time in this and this place, when at that time you were with us in a different place? So when the second group of Eidim says that, that is called Hazomet. Any other thing they say, when they say that you are lying because it didn't happen or whatever reason, that's called Akosha. But if they say that you were with us at that time, so you couldn't have seen this Maisa happen, that is Hazomet. And the din is that we believe the second group of Eidos, and we punish the first group of Eidos. As the Pasuk says, you should do to them, to him, as he wanted to do to the others. If the first group of Eidos wanted to be mechayev a person money, they have to pay the money. If they wanted to have that person killed, they have to be killed. The Rav says, Eid Zoymim Chidishu. That this deen, that we punish the Eidim Zoymimim and we don't believe them, is a Chidish. Because really, my chazit is some kazahane, my chahane. Why should you rely on the second one? and say the first ones are lying. Why don't we rely on the first one? So the fact that we don't believe the first group of Vedas is a chiddush. But the Chora, according to Rav Chisden from Al Gemara, it seems that Rav holds like Rav Chisden, we don't believe by Akhosha either of the groups. So the chiddush by Eidim Zaymanim is not that we don't believe the first group. Because if it wouldn't be Zaymanim, we wouldn't believe either group. So the chiddush is, why do we believe the second group? And the Rav is saying that since Eid Zaymanim is a chiddush, the fact that we don't believe the first group is a chiddush, that's why a certain din comes out. When this din, that we don't believe the first group, is not a chiddush at all. The whole chiddush is that we do believe the second group. So how can Rav say that Eid Zaymanim chiddushu, that the fact that we don't believe the first group is a chiddush? And Tosha says, we must say that Rav does not learn like Rav Chisda, but Rav learns like Rav Huna. And Tosha like brings that in the beginning of Cheskes Abatim, in the Basar of Lamed Aleph, the Gemara Taka says that Rav Nachman and Rav both hold like Rav Huna. The question is, in our Gemara, Rav explains Rav Chisda's din. Rav answers the kasha that was asked on Rav Chisda. The Lechura is mashmeh that Rav does hold like Rav Chisda. But Tosha says, no, we must say that he only explains Rav Chisda to show that it's no kasha on Rav Chisda, but he himself does not hold that way. But then the kasha is, in that Gemara Gufa, in Baba Basar, the Gemara first wants to say that maybe Rav holds like Rav Chisda, how could there even be a Havamin that Rav holds like Rav Chisda? When Rav holds Eid Zavim Chidushu, obviously he doesn't hold like Rav Chisda. The Torah says, Einachanami, the Gemara there could have said, Ulatayimich. The Gemara could have said, according to you who wants to say that Rav holds like Rav Chisda, how could that be? When Rav holds Eid Zavim Chidushu. Gaba halacha, Tosha says the halacha is like Rav Huna. Since the Gemara says that Rav Nachman and Rav hold like Rav Huna, and the Rach Tosha says also paskins like Rav Huna. Why? Because Rav Huna was the Rebbe of Rav Chisda, as it says in the Gemara Elam Tzias, so we paskin like him. And another thing, because the Mishnah the Gemara brings later on here, that one says it was high 2 mardoes, and one says it was high 3 mardoes, and the second case one says 3, one says 5. The Chora is mashma like Rav Huna, even though the Gemara answered that we could say it goes according to Rav Chisda also, but the pshat there is something else. But l'chatchila, the mashmos from the Mishnah is like Rav Huna, and therefore we paskin like Rav Huna. Considering what the Gemara said before, that in the pasuk Shvuas Hashem tiyeh b'shneim, we learn now that the Shvuas chala al shneim, the Shvuas goes on both, on the one that swears and on the one that makes him swear. So l'chura we would think that when does the one that makes him swear get punished if he was lying? And the right is the one that's swearing. So since he made him swear for no reason, if he would have admitted to the truth, the other person wouldn't have to swear. And even though the other person swears true, but he caused a shvur to be made, that's why he's punished. But Taisa says it is not so, but as Rakrasha says earlier in the Flamen Testament days, that even if he is right, and that person swears false, so he, when he made him swear, he is saying the truth. Nevertheless, he also gets punished. And the reason is, as we said before, because he could have done something to avoid the shvuah, and the other person wouldn't be able to swear false.